You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
I'm Nick Westergaard, and this is On Brand, helping you tell your story. My guest this week is Jonathan Yoffe.
So that's what I've been completely obsessed with, is how do we actually not only prove the ROI of these, you know, really specific experiential programs that are meant to build brand and behavioral change, but how do we do it at scale? And then how do we actually optimize these experiences so we can, you know, double down on what's working?
Jonathan is the CEO and co-founder of AnyRoad. Hailed as one of Mark Benioff's best investments, the data and analytics platform powers the data behind many of the Fortune 2000's offline experiences, including Absolut, the Kentucky Bourbon Trail, Michael's Arts and Crafts, Honda, Diageo, Pete's Coffee and Tea, and the Golden State Warriors. Jonathan began his career in experiential marketing at Red Bull and holds a degree in cognitive science from the University of California, Berkeley. Jonathan, welcome to On Brand.
Nick, it's so great to be here with you. Thanks so much for having me.
I am thrilled to have you here. You know, as I read the sentence, career in experiential marketing, I'm reminded of the joke that many of us in emerging fields of digital marketing have to answer, whether that's social, digital, experiential. That's the kind of around the holidays with family question of, okay, so what is that? So when you answer, and I think that not only is this helpful for lay people, but also helpful as we work to build a common vocabulary in our industry around some of these areas, what's your answer to what is experiential marketing?
Yeah, for me, experiential marketing is all about the brand. And when I think about what a brand is, it's all about emotion. The reason that companies are pouring billions of dollars into branding, into strengthening their brands and brand building, et cetera, is really just what it comes down to is just causing emotions in their customers. And, you know, whether those emotions are nostalgia or happiness or, being active and energy, creating these emotions is really, in my mind, at the heart of brands. And what I've seen in my career is that nothing is able to actually create these emotions to the level that experiences are. That's a lot of this came from my time at Red Bull.
That is, you know, I think already right off the bat, you've bridged a huge gap because you referenced, you know, we pump money into branding. We don't always know what we're getting. We don't always know why we're doing it. But when you frame it in the context of creating emotions in customers, that, again, is one of those helpful definitions for lay people that I think many of us would do well to maybe think more about. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
So the question is how do you do that?
So I was one of the first marketing hires when Red Bull first came to the United States. And I got hired right out of the marketing team right out of college. And this totally blew my mind because we were spending billions of dollars a year. This is billions with a B, billions of dollars a year on experiences. And the entire idea behind it was that even back then, digital marketing was completely oversaturated. We see something like 10,000 advertisements every single day. And every time you receive a spam email, look at a banner ad, click on an Instagram ad, see a billboard by the side of the road, there's zero engagement with the brand. But you bring your family to this crazy Red Bull event, and there are people jumping out of airplanes, going down mountains on tricycles, DJs playing, people are dancing, everyone's having an amazing time, and somebody comes up to you and hands you an ice-cold Red Bull, this actually creates that emotional bond that not only changes your perception of the brand, but also changes your behavior going forward. So clearly it worked, right? We were spending billions of dollars a year on these programs, and Red Bull has by far number one market share. But it drove me absolutely crazy that we had no data. We had no understanding of how to actually create the spend and these experiential programs to an actual change and growth in brand.
So, you know, I think that Red Bull is such a great example of, to oversimplify, but I think probably familiar sounding to most, it is a brand that we're used to hearing about doing cool things.
That's
but
right.
I'd say the other edge of that sword is exactly what you just said of, at some point, yeah, you have to make sure that the cool things are doing what they're designed to be, or what they're designed to do. And it sounds like there was a general thinking, like you said, you don't engage with a billboard, but trikes down mountains, that kind of fun, seems like it's on track directionally. But to really go the extra mile and quantify that experience, how did you connect those dots?
So, yeah, so that's what I've been completely obsessed with, is how do we actually not only prove the ROI of these, you know, really specific experiential programs that are meant to build brand and behavioral change, but how do we do it at scale? And then how do we actually optimize these experiences so we can, you know, double down on what's working? And so I started my company AnyRoad to specifically solve these problems. And what's shocking to me is how much nothing has really changed since Red Bull days, you know, other than we are now making business decisions with data, with business intelligence, but experiential programs are still this kind of like nice to have. Oh, we think that people liked it, but it doesn't have the statistical and scientific rigor that digital marketing does.
So I'm going to keep with our outdoor theme and think of this as a mountain that there might be some sort of Red Bull experience on or around. But it seems like one side of that is it almost seems like experience, to really get into it, that there's a front end and a back end. And the front end is the, I'm just going to say, cliche, because we know about it, we've heard about it, the cool Red Bull stuff. That's hard enough. That's a heavy enough lift for most of, I want to do something amazing that my customers can walk into and can activate their emotions at the level that you're talking about. Sure. Heavy enough lift. Beyond that, and almost, again, that's why it feels like a mountain to climb, but then the other side of that, or maybe it's the next level of the mountain after a plateau or a base camp, is the back end of that, is quantifying that cool experience that you've just built.
That's right. And I mean, I think I like to talk about Red Bull because that's where I got my start, and it's a very, you know, sexy brand that just kind of lends itself well to being experiential. But I think that people are shocked when they realize that pretty much every single one of the Fortune 2000 consumer brands are spending over $100 million a year on experiential programs. And we've seen the most out there things. You know, we've seen Nestle under the Purina brand in the middle of the pandemic open up a marketplace for puppy trainers because they saw all these people buying puppies during COVID, and they built a digital marketplace for puppy trainers, right? And these are experiences that were done, you know, over Zoom that actually built their brand because they wanted to be where people are buying puppies. You see brands like Lululemon that are doubling down, spending about $300 million a year on free yoga classes globally. You see choose your favorite winery, brewery, or whiskey distillery, and you can probably go and take a tour and tasting and have a beer pairing dinner. And these are all experiential marketing programs also. And because none of them are really able to connect it into their existing data systems, existing CDP and CRM systems, we basically built what we call an ERM, experience relationship management. And so we look at this basically as an experiential CRM to not only power these experiences at scale, but also really pull in the relevant data so that we can actually see how people's perception, people's emotions, and people's spending habits actually change over time as they participate in these experiential programs.
Are you enjoying this conversation about branding? If so, I'd love to bring my Brand Now keynote speech to your next conference or corporate event. Based on my popular book, Brand Now, this talk breaks down the seven dynamics of building a standout brand in our crowded, distracted world. Entertaining and educational, your audience will learn, laugh, and leave with ideas they can implement right away. Learn more, including watching video and viewing popular presentation topics at nickwestergaard.com/speaking. That's nickwestergaard.com/speaking. Now back to the show. So as you talk about experiential programs, and before we got started chatting here, I had a little trouble turning my video on, and wonders of tech. But in doing that, I have a box of tchotchkes, a cigar box on my back desk here that you can see, and in it, I have at the very top of my little pile of fun things from my travels, I have my passport from the Kentucky Bourbon Trail.
There you go.
My woefully understamped passport, but because it's in my box of treasures, I'm going to get it back out and do more things with it when we're all able to travel the world once again. But when you talk about, you know, that seems like a fun thing to do on the front end, but your conversation leading up to this on experience relationship management, mm-hmm. and the road or the work of any road, how do you take a tactile experience like that? And by the way, this might be a related tangent, a clumsy segue, or something in between. But as I talk about all of this, I'm thinking of trails and I'm thinking of quantifying this. I'm fascinated by your business name, too, because it seems like with experience, you know, I'm reminded of the Lewis Carroll quote of the any road will get you there.
Yes.
And I feel like that is a brand name that acknowledges the crazy bag of cats that must be measuring experience.
Nick, it's so funny you brought up the Kentucky Bourbon Trail because they're a great partner of ours, and it's been really incredible working with them. And in terms of the front end and the back end that you brought up, also, you know, on the front end you have these a million people a year who are visiting Kentucky specifically to go to their favorite bourbon distilleries and driving around, and it's these incredible experiences. But on the back end, you have all of these bourbon brands that are actually creating lifelong fans. We see people who are going to, you know, tiny little bourbon distilleries, and then this becomes their favorite brand. And the next time that they are, you know, in Ohio, at a bar, and they, you know, they want some bourbon, they think about, you know, maybe when they were in Tennessee, Uncle Nearest, which is an incredible whiskey company. And they, you know, but through the experiences, they build lifelong relationships with brands. It's something that people don't think about a lot, because people are thinking about, oh, I'm, you know, this is kind of a tourist thing, but it's not really, right? Really, when it comes down to it, it's an experience that's meant to build relationships and build emotions. AnyRoad, the company, it's funny you brought up Lewis Carroll. That's actually what about half of the people think it is. And it's kind of a misquoted thing of his. But it's also from a George Harrison song, which goes, if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. And for us, you know, like we are in this interesting place where we're a technology company and we're, you know, have a lot of data scientists on the team and we're crunching, you know, hundreds of millions of pieces of data on millions of consumers for thousands of brands like every day. But then also experiences are inherently very creative, right? And experiences are all about emotion. And in doing that, we really wanted to have a name that evoked the road, evoked the experience, while not being kind of some like douchey tech company.
Well, it's funny because I'm also a big fan of the George Harrison song as well, and just came up on a little road trip we were on the Beatles station on Sirius XM, and yes. Further evidenced by my dog that is sleeping a few feet away, who is named George. So I feel like I feel like I can connect all of these dots. I'm also drinking a cup of Pete's coffee. But I feel like I don't have I haven't yet experienced what you've done to help quantify the immersiveness of the world of coffee.
A lot of coffee cuppings, coffee tasting classes, a lot of education.
Interesting. And, you know, I feel like, you know, this back end of the mountain that is brand experience is really uncharted territory. And when we come full circle back to, you know, you talked early on about how much we're investing in, it's funny here on a branding podcast talking about branding and any number of brand things, I sometimes always raise an eyebrow when we see reports on XYZ invested in branding. Because I even think that label, we don't know what's in there. That seems like, as much as I love that category and spend almost all of my waking hours in that category, I especially when it comes to budgeting, I'm not sure what that is. But I definitely feel like more of it should be what you're talking about here. I feel like it would demystify a lot of these tricky E words of emotion and experience. So how do you, do people, speaking of any road,
yeah.
and both the capital A and the R and the lowercase of that, do you find that brands find you, or do you find them? I mean, is this a problem people know they have, or one, speaking of education, that they need to be educated about?
Yeah, most of our customers come inbound these days. So the average company we work with is a Fortune 2000 company in CPG, retail, auto, other spaces, and is spending mid nine figures, so somewhere around $500 million a year on experiential programs, right? And if they're retailers, these are, you know, in-store appointments and services and classes, you know, in all over the world in their stores. If these are CPG companies, they're generally considered activations or experiential marketing. They're car companies, they're test drives and driving experiences. You know, on and on and on. You know, even banks are, you know, doubling down on education, on classes, on how to save for your first mortgage and, you know, 401k classes. So what we're seeing is that I use the word experience pretty loosely, but really what it comes down to is we power and help organizations to understand the value and the ROI for anything that's meant to change behavior and brand perception. So, you know, when you are going to Atlanta to the Coca-Cola's World of Coke, or actually, it's funny, BMW also has their own theme park in Munich called BMW World. Like, why are these massive brands building theme parks, right? Mattel is currently building a theme park that's toy themed in Arizona. I mean, why are these brands doing that? Because they believe that people who come there, like, are able to have fun. They start to associate fun with the brand, and suddenly you are creating emotion. You are, you know, if brand is about building emotion through these experiential programs, you are building emotion. But then brands come to us because they're like, look, we believe it's important. We're already investing $500 million a year in this. We've been doing this for decades, if not longer. But we don't know what the ROI is. We know what the ROI is for our digital spend. We know what the ROI is for, you know, our retail footprint, et cetera, et cetera. But for this big part of our branding, which is everyone that's engaging with our brand through some sort of experience or some sort of service or appointment or something meant to build their behavior, behavioral change, we have no data. And so that's what we do is really work with them to understand what their KPIs are, pull in all the relevant data, structure that data. And nobody's doing this. And it's shocking, you know, and like no one was doing this when I was at Red Bull. And, you know, when we started AnyRoad, we couldn't find anyone doing this. So every brand is having this problem. But for such a long time, the world of experiential has just been really, let's call it dataless. You know, it's been very much like there's this joke in the experiential marketing world called counting smiles, where, you know, you are PepsiCo and you go and distribute Pepsis all over the streets and you know, pour Pepsi in Costco so people can taste this new Pepsi product you're coming out with. And afterwards, people are like, oh, how'd that go? And you're just like, great. Seemed like people were smiling. I counted 35 smiles at this event. And it's like, really? Like, in a world of, you know, data-driven business intelligence, we're still counting smiles in, you know, 2021? It's ridiculous.
It certainly makes me feel, reminds me that vanity metrics existed before social and digital media, where we sometimes, you know, shake our heads at counting likes, but exactly. Yeah, counting smiles at the soda tasting station, is probably the V1, of that. But I think that's fascinating, and certainly, it sounds like any road is working to plot a better road. So as we start to wrap up here, it is my turn to ask you for a question, That was sometimes, you know, that was just a wind up to a road that went nowhere. So, in attempting that again, but I'm going to leave that in there because it feels on brand for our AnyRoad conversation. But it is my turn to ask.
Nick, AnyRoad will take us there.
There we go. See, we can do it. We can make this work. Now that's an integral part of the podcast. Jonathan, what is a brand that has made you smile recently? A smile that you've counted.
a smile I've counted. I smile a lot, as you can see here on the video. But Lego made me smile ear to ear recently, because Lego is, first of all, sales of Legos during this pandemic have just skyrocketed, and which is amazing. But a lot of us think of Legos as, you know, these little blocks that kids build with. But Lego is doubling down on what they call hands-on brick experiences, because they think that their fans have basically missed personal and tactile interactions. And they're opening a new flagship store in New York, which is massive. And they're doubling down on experiences for adults. And this totally blew my mind. And the funniest thing, and the thing that made me really smile, is they have, you know, a lot of brands have their own lingo and their own way that they, you know, talk about their customers. At Red Bull, we had this term called PINOs, which are people in need of energy. And these were our ideal customers. My favorite one that of Legos is called AFOLs, mm-hmm. A-F-O-L. It's adult fans of Lego. And they have now KPIs around engaging AFOLs. And so they started like these brick labs. They started doing tie-ups with like the Avengers and even like the 90s TV show Friends. And like you can now get like Friends Lego kits, and adults are spending not like, you know, $10 on a kid's Lego set. They're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars a year on these like really crazy limited edition things. And just the fact that Lego realized that this was like this untapped market and they're actually measuring with AFOLs, that really just made me smile.
That is awesome. And even though we're theoretically in wrap-up time, I want to put a little star by what you just noted, because AFOLs, Pinos at Red Bull, I think that this is a great practice, but I think it also illustrates the power of naming something, that you make it real, you make it a thing, you make it unique to you, and it means something internally. And while that's not everything, I think that's a really important step in understanding your people and designing experiences around them. Jonathan, where can folks go to learn more about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, anyroad.com is where we have a lot going on there. You can also email me directly, jonathan@anyroad.com. Very easy. I'm on Twitter, where is Yaffe? Y-A-F-F-E, but I don't really tweet a lot. But yeah, I'm always around, and we are obsessed with experiences and love working with brands that are serious about their experiential programs.
Awesome. And we'll be sure to link up to all of that and more at onbrandpodcast.com. Jonathan, thanks for being on brand with us.
Thanks so much, Nick. This was fantastic.
And if you like what you're hearing, if we've made you smile, remember you can always listen for free on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or whatever your favorite platform may be. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.